with James and some words of encouragement mixed in. And James's point in all of this is to say that you are becoming perfect. If you believe in God, if you have trusted in Him, you are becoming perfect in the midst of this life. You're being made whole, in other words, by receiving Jesus' commands and obeying them in how you live. But the two key parts in pursuing this perfection, the two key things that James says needs to be pursued are not being pursued by the reader. For James, if you are going to be made whole, if you are going to be perfected, you need to pursue wisdom from God, and you need to pursue true religion. Those are the two things that he would hold up. And the problem, as we read through this book, the problem that we see is we fail in both of these ways. True religion to James means caring for the needy, taming the tongue, being apart from the world. But how often we struggle with that, he says, and how quickly we rely on our own wisdom for the next day and not God's. But that's what perfects us, James says. That's what transforms us each day into God's Son's image. So, just three things from these 12 verses. Three things on guarding the tongue. One of the aspects of this true religion that James tells us to go after. Three things: the power of the tongue, the difficulty of controlling the tongue, and the two-sided nature of the tongue. So, the power of the tongue. James opens the section with a warning to those who teach or those who want to teach and become teachers, and he warns them ultimately not to do it. It's not something many of them should pursue. And the reason he says this in his own words is because we all stumble, he says. And if we all stumble, if we all act in a way that is against God's standard, then it's a huge risk for those whose profession it is to speak. To use your tongue, which can be so prone to speaking sinfully. In the day that James was writing, in public speaking, what was something that was very respected. It was a position that would place you above those around you, and it gave you some level of protection or comfort in that society. Not in our world, James says. Not here in the circles that we operate in. It means responsibility. It doesn't mean comfort. It means being held to account because it's a dangerous part of your body, and how much more opportunity you have to say things you ought not to say. How much easier it is to speak sinfully when all you do is speak. Some would come to these 12 verses and say that these verses are all aimed at the teacher or preacher, and all the warnings are to them. It's unlikely that that's the case. It's far more likely that these 12 verses are for each of us and for all believers. James talks about people who aren't teachers becoming teachers, and then he says we all stumble. It's far more likely that he's using this opening verse as a springboard for the rest of us to be brought into this conversation. How serious a role it is to be the one who teaches. Well, even for the rest of the church, he says. How important it is to know how powerful the tongue can be. So to all of us, James says, beware of the power of the tongue. In verse 2, he makes this statement, saying that whoever really does watch every word that comes out of their mouth, he says, he's the perfect man. If he can do that, then he is the perfect man. He's crossed the finish line. The goal has been reached. Verse 8, it tells us that that's not going to happen. That's not the case. But James goes further than that. And he says, if that is the case, then you can direct your whole body. And that is going to happen. He's got one thing right there. You might not be able to grasp perfection just by speaking well all the time. But one thing is for sure. you will direct your whole body. See the horse with a bridle in its mouth, steering the whole body. See this ship that is guided by such a small rudder, taken through the strongest winds and storms. All of this to say that your tongue guides you, it directs you into good and evil. One writer, one commentator says it guides us into safety or it guides us into peril. It's not the case in verse 2 that the one who masters his tongue masters his whole body. If I can say that I do not sin with my mouth, then I don't need to worry about what my hand is doing or my eyes. That's not what James is saying. He's saying that you can guide your whole direction by how you speak. So if I speak kindly and mercifully and truthfully, then I will surely be walking nearer to God and living more in line with how I am expected to live. But with this tiny member of my body, if I speak boastfully or harshly or impatiently, if I speak crudely or if I lie, then it directs my whole being away from him. By the great power of such a small member of your body, you sin against God and direct yourself away from him. Like a bridle in the mouth of a horse, like the rudder of a boat, I direct the whole self toward good or evil. I find myself either becoming more Christ-like or I disobey the God of all the universe just by speaking. That's the power that the tongue has. What about the difficulty of controlling the tongue? Then James tells us in verse 5 that the tongue boasts of great things. It boasts of its power. And he moves on and he tells us the outcome of this power. The outcome being the tongue becomes very difficult to control. Verses 5 to 6 give us probably the most vivid picture of how uncontrollable the tongue is in the whole of the Bible. And it's because of this lack of control, it means that the tongue has this capacity for serious harm. Something I see often at home at the end of the year or the start of the year, and I guess it happens down here as well on the Moorland, is burning the heather. The crofters would do this to burn away the dried out heather, this heather that loses its nutrition. The sheep can't eat it, so they go and burn it away and leave space for the new roots to come through. Often, if it goes unchecked, even for a few seconds, this results in this great fire taking over the land, taking over the croft, taking over acres and acres of land, and everything is gone in a moment. And often when I'm home in the winter, in the pitch black night, the darkness, you know, is lit up by this fire miles and miles away that has been left uncontrolled. James says, in its natural state, the tongue is a fire, and very quickly, it will burn down the whole forest. In other words, our tongue has the scope for such a huge impact, and once we have spoken, we have no control over how great that impact is going to be. So much good can be built up, so much good can be done by us. We can build relationships, we can pursue material and social good. We have opportunities to show kindness and care towards those around us. But the tongue is so uncontrollable that in a moment you can burn it down. The book of Proverbs, which James draws on often in his letter, it has a lot to say on this. Chapter 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 13, verse 3. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. All of these verses and more tell us one thing. Our lives are like the forest, and the moment that fire is lit, the moment we use the tongue rashly, we have the capacity to burn it down. More than that, James carries on in the same verse 6. This verse seems to divide many of the commentators, but it's most likely that in verse 6, the tongue is characterizing itself. Here in our translation, it says, the tongue is set among our members. But likely, the better reading is that the tongue appoints itself above or among our members. The tongue appoints itself as the world of unrighteousness, in James's language. The tongue appoints itself as the one that expresses evil, and it can do this in a way that no other member of your body can do. You know, you think of how quickly we can speak and the great harm we do in so few words. No wonder James says the tongue boasts about this. It does it all without the help of the rest of our bodies. Just to end this point, James speaks about how we've managed even to tame and control beings completely separate from us. He talks about beast and bird and reptile and sea creature. But no one has ever tamed the tongue. You can tame these things, but you can't tame the tongue. And because of that, what's the outcome? This member, which he says is set on fire by hell, which is evil by its very nature, he says, determines our course. Think of all that can change in a moment, especially harmful and destructive change. Whether between me and one person or between me and many people. Think of how our paths are determined by how we speak. Whether in a greater or a lesser sense, I can determine my course by how I use my tongue. That's the difficulty of controlling it. It sets itself above the rest of your members, the rest of your body, and it sets your course. The last point that we've mentioned, and just really quickly, there's the two-sided nature to the tongue as well. Even as Christians, we don't escape the seriousness of this issue. Verse 9, I can go to church, I can come here and praise God and pray to Him. But when I leave, when I go into the rest of the week, I can turn and speak harmfully about the person that He has made in His image. I can bless Him, but curse His creation. And like a spring pouring both salt and fresh water, like a fig tree producing bare olives or a grapevine figs, like a salt pond holding fresh water, James says, it makes no sense. How can I bless in a moment and curse the next? It's not supposed to be like that, he says. I can't praise God and speak well of Him and turn and use my words the next moment, like the writer of the proverb says, like a thrusting sword. The problem here is when I talk about God's creation, when I talk about the people that He has made, and when I bring them low, I'm saying something about God. Because He has made them. And this person who the psalmist says is fearfully and wonderfully made, I have to be saying something ultimately about God when I speak harmfully about them who He has made. Look at Peter. Tells Jesus to His face, he's never going to deny Him. 3 times he says he doesn't know Jesus as soon as he is away from Him. That's the two-sided nature of the tongue. I might bless God in a moment, but how easy it can be to turn on the person beside me. It doesn't make sense. It can't do both. And yet James says it does. So he sets these 3 points to us. The tongue has great power. It is difficult to even begin controlling the tongue. And the tongue is, in its nature, two-sided. it gets worse than that. James, for all that James says, Jesus comes along and he says more. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus, he's on the road and he comes across this demon-possessed man, this blind and mute man, and he heals him. He makes him well. And the Pharisees see this, and the Pharisees say, surely this is the work of Beelzebub. Surely this is the work of Satan. They have attributed the work of God to the work of the devil. They have blasphemed in a way that will never be forgiven. And Jesus turns and he identifies the problem. Though they have spoken this accusation, probably in haste, Jesus turns and he says what the real problem is. Matthew 12:34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says, the problem isn't necessarily the tongue. The problem is your heart. The tongue might be powerful and it might be difficult to control, but it's because of the state of your heart that you can't control it. Though you can try and cover it up, the mouth is bound at some point to say exactly what your heart believes. The problem is far greater than the tongue. And whether the tongue has appointed itself among your other members, whether it really is capable of setting your whole course on fire, it's only capable because the heart doesn't condemn it. It's only capable of doing that because it says what the heart believes. At the start, we spoke about James's aim in this letter, to tell you how to strive towards this perfection in this life of trials. And you do that by pursuing godly wisdom and true religion, caring for the poor, taming the tongue, being apart from the world. So that's what makes up true religion. But that can be summed up another way, and it is summed up another way, by Jesus, who gives us the greatest commandment, to love God and love your neighbor. When you refuse to tame the tongue, when you ignore the attitude of your heart, and that spills into your speech, you do away with Jesus' commandment. That's the seriousness of what James is saying. Your tongue only says what your heart believes. Your tongue only says what your heart is thinking. And when you don't deal with the issue of your heart, you'll never deal with the power or the uncontrollable nature of your tongue. Think of what happens when the tongue sets the forest on fire. Gossip will break people's trust in you. Truly meant insults will put people against you and turn them away from you. Hatred and critical speech will kill people's love and affection for you. Relationships you have built up over years, opportunities that you have had to build and encourage people over years, can be done away with because of the tongue. How much more damage it can do in a moment than the rest of the body. But Jesus says, only because the heart allows it. We've had 3 points on the nature of the tongue. One, to say that it's worse than that. The heart is the issue. One more point. Five points today. The heart is sustained by Jesus. To all people, this promise is made, despite how your tongue is, despite the nature of your heart. Even as a Christian, this sin springing up, despite all of that, Jesus sustains the heart. In Jesus' meeting with Nicodemus, he makes this promise to all people. You will be given a new heart if you believe. The sin that condemns you to punishment will be dealt with and remembered no more. You will be made alive, and one day you will be in God's presence. And yet, despite the promise of a new heart, one of the problems we know we face is our old nature trying to emerge again and again. I'm new in God's eyes, but still sin emerges, and still I can speak how I ought not to speak. Still my heart can cause my tongue to speak harmfully. Jesus, he appears in Isaiah 50. He's called the servant in this prophecy. And he says this in the 7th verse. The Lord God has given me an instructed tongue, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Jesus speaks all that is commanded to him by the Father. He speaks with an instructed tongue, and to the one who is weary, to the one who knows their struggles, to the one who knows and understands their hearts, to the one who knows that even with this new heart they still stumble, to the one who speaks with a powerful, uncontrollable, two-sided tongue, to that person he comes and he says he will sustain them. He says no wrong, but he draws near, and to the weary heart struggling with life and struggling with sin, he says he will sustain you. In the next chapter of James, in chapter 4, he's talking about being in the world and the problem that his first readers had of living as if they were still in the world. They show no sign, really, of being separate. And he is obviously pained by this. But almost out of nowhere in this chapter 4, he's going in on them. And out of nowhere, he says, but he gives more grace. You struggle with how you speak. You struggle with being a part of the world and not living differently to it. Well, God gives more grace to you. He gives the power to live well. Do we struggle with how we use the tongue? Do we find that even with this new heart, we are still prone to sin and prone to wander away from him? Jesus speaks perfectly to sustain us. I will give you rest, he says. And here in James's letter, he says, here is even more grace on top of that. For the pain that sin causes in our lives, for the pain that speaking wrongly can cause, it will not separate God's people from him. Here is yet more grace, he says, that you will have power to live as you are meant to. What can we say? How can we respond when we understand our own failings? And yet God comes and he says, here is more grace for you. On one condition, that we humble ourselves before God. Grace here is promised to the one who humbles themselves, to the one who at least acknowledges the problem that their tongue is, who at least acknowledges the sin that can spring up in their heart, which causes their tongue to speak. We humble ourselves by acknowledging these things and submitting ourselves to God, the one who helps us through it. James says we are becoming perfect, and we will be perfected at the end of time. And that happens because when we humble ourselves, God says, here is more grace for you to battle this sin, to battle that nature in your heart, to kill that sin. Here is more grace for you that you can speak well tomorrow. For the one who struggles to tame the tongue, here is grace, here is the power to live, so that you will kill sin, and so that your tongue will be tamed. Here is Jesus who sustains the weary. Here is grace, so that all we can say, all that we can speak with our tongue, is of how great our God is, the one who saved us, and the one who will continue to perfect us until we go to be with him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these verses, and again, the seriousness of it, Lord. And we pray ultimately that we would humble ourselves before you. We would submit to you. We would, throughout this day, acknowledge how our sinful hearts, how sin keeps emerging and how it pours out into our speech. Lord, as we acknowledge these things, Lord, we pray for yet more grace. We thank you that you are the God who says this, who says, here is more grace, so that we might continue on this road of being perfected and continue this life until we are with you and we are perfected and sin will not hold us or cling to us anymore. Lord, we look forward to that day when we will not fall, we will not fail anymore. It grieves us even today thinking of how we can do these things, how we can speak uncontrollably and how we can speak powerfully in a harmful way. But yet, at the end of time, we will be perfected and we will be in your presence and we will be sinless, all because of you and your work in our lives. So help us with these things, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.